Welcome back to Midday on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart. Imagine James Joyce, Vladimir Lenin, and Tristan Tzara, the father of Dada, all together at the same time. I bet you can't, as it's weird even hearing all their names in the same sentence, but thanks to Tom Stoppard and his dazzling adrenaline rush of a play, Travesties, these characters flit on and off stage, jousting, dancing, and jesting, all the while making us rethink the purpose of art. And binding them all together is my next guest, Tom Hollander, who plays the British civil servant Henry Caw in this brilliant revival, currently at the Roundabout Theater Company's production on 42nd Street. Tom Hollander, welcome to Midday.
Hello.
It's always dangerous for me to interview the star of a show the day after I've actually seen the show, which was terrific. So, how familiar were you with this 1974 play before you signed on for it?
I knew it because we had studied it at school. It's not the most famous of Tom Stoppard's plays, but about 10 years after its first production, which was in 75, I was being taught about the play by a very enthusiastic teacher called Rodney Meehans, and that's the first time I've mentioned his name in North America on a radio station. And he was enthusiastically waving his arms around at the front of the classroom to a pretty grumpy bunch of disinterested 17-year-olds who didn't really understand what was so exciting about this play. But he used it to us teenagers, high school kids, as a way of a jumping off point to learn about Dadaism, was the thing he was most excited about, and about the Russian Revolution, and about who James Joyce was. Rodney Meehans, my teacher, was Irish, so he had a particular interest in that. I don't think it was on our school syllabus, but it was, and we were pretty indifferent to it, but I didn't understand, and we were teenagers mostly interested in, you know, more stuff. I don't know, teenage boys, it's a whole different world. It was too esoteric for us in the classroom, but it meant that when it was offered to me, I was not completely bamboozled by it and thought, oh wow. And also I had remembered this part of this old man remembering his youth, which is the part that I play.
Well, I want to talk about Henry Carr in a second, but I'm fascinated by the fact that you knew the play as a disinterested 17-year-old. And
yes,
I'm curious, now you're no longer 17. You're more mature.
Much older.
You're mature now. And so how is the play different to you as an adult than it was as a disinterested 17-year-old?
There's the one difference is the generational change, but the even more important difference is that I am performing it rather than reading it. And to perform, it is amazing. I am, as an actor, my job is to deliver Tom Stoppard's play. I understand it. I don't understand it. I understand it as a musician understands a piece of music that they're playing. It doesn't mean that I fully understand the effect that it has on the audience, though I observe the effect it has on the audience, and I can see what it does to them and how people are thrilled by it. It's a ride to do.
So, and the person who's leading this ride is the character you play, Henry Carr.
Yes.
Who exactly is he?
So Henry Carr was a real person that Tom Stoppard found, who is mentioned in Ulysses. James Joyce knew Henry Carr. Henry Carr is a footnote in history, and only a footnote because James Joyce, who became obviously a titan of literature, mentioned him in a book. So Henry Carr, a nobody really, in the great scheme of things, has an immortality given to him by the genius that is James Joyce. And that's the sort of one of the conundrums of the play, that The play is the memories of this old guy who was really a nobody in Zurich, who knew, who happens to be there at a time when Zurich was very important in history, when Tristan Zara was there, Lenin was there, and Joyce were there, and so was Henry Carr. And if you come and see Travesties, it's Henry Carr that gets to tell you their story, because he's the only one that's still alive.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. How does Henry Carr bring all of these disparate folks together? How do they all fit?
They actually don't, but they fit in his head, because he puts himself at the center of history in the way that we all do, right, in our memories. So the play is about memory at one level. So, and then his wife comes on right at the very end of the play and says, none of that's true.
Right.
You didn't know Lenin. And I say, yes, I do. I saw him in the cafes. There's about a page and a half of dialogue at the end, and that's the only thing in the whole evening that's true. And he was historically in a production of The Importance of Being Earnest that James Joyce directed, and he did play Algernon. And his memory is that, you know, he had a great triumph in the role of Algernon. And then he was involved in a court case with James Joyce because James Joyce wanted 25 francs off him for tickets, which he refused to pay, and they went to court. And that's the reason that James Joyce ended up hating him.
Wasn't one of the other reasons why they hated each other over how much money Henry Carr spent on his clothing?
And Henry Carr countersued him because he'd spent 300 francs on his trousers.
Yes, on his trousers.
And so there's a whole running joke about trousers, which is one of the strands in Tom Stoppard's writing, which is that there's a kind of farcical identity to this story. And, you know, trousers dropping, the ridiculousness of trousers is a sort of farcical, familiar kind of trope. The wrong trousers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon series. Those trousers are sort of comedy things. So, yes, Henry Carr was a dandy obsessed with clothes.
Oh, yeah.
And he makes sure that he looks brilliant in the production, The Importance of Being Earnest, which we never see on the stage, but we do see him in his costume.
Can we talk about, before I get to a big plot thing here,
yeah.
What was it about Zurich, Switzerland, that made it a perfect place for all of these people, Zara, Lenin, Joyce, Henry Carr, all being in this one spot?
Because it was, as far as I know, and I'm not going to be strong on this, but it was a neutral country in a world war. So it was kind of the safe place, mm-hmm. where people were. It was a little island, a little sort of sandbank where that all these people escaped to where they could be safe. So full of refugees and artists and writers and thinkers. They kind of collected in Switzerland because it was neutral.
So Henry Carr sets up for the endless resets that we see during
the
thing when he says, no apologies required, constant digression being the saving grace of senile reminiscence.
Yes.
I can never
say that. Rare reminiscence. So yes. And exactly, so that, go on, sorry.
And then there's just for the listener who hasn't seen it,
yeah.
There's a sort of boxing ring bell that alerts us to scenes beginning all over again.
So it's exactly it's his memories keep changing and time keeps restarting, and there's this bell that goes, and every time the bell goes, that's like his memory, a different version, often of the same story,
right,
comes out slightly different. And often that's in a different theatrical shape. So one time it happens, there's an entire scene comprised of limericks because it's a scene authored by James Joyce at that point, who was famous for his limericks. James Joyce, the character, drives that scene. So suddenly everyone's talking in limericks, almost like a cartoon where, you know, suddenly a character is colouring everyone in their colour. Then the scene starts again, and it's kind of Tristan Zara's scene, and it's a play about art and Dadaism. And often the play of The Importance of Being Earnest itself bursts through, because Tom Stoppard has used the structure and story of The Importance of Being Earnest as a kind of subterranean structure for Travesties. It sounds fantastically complicated, and it doesn't even matter. it's a musical construction. But there are lines and characters from The Importance of Being Earnest which keep popping up, mm-hmm. because Henry Carr, the finest moment in his life was when he played Algernon in The Importance of Being Earnest for a man who he came to hate. And somehow that's what the play is about. So it's about memory and looking back at your... For me, this is what it's about in playing the character. It's about you look back at your life and you realise the greatest moment in your life was when you were bitching about, you know, the guy who asked you for 25 francs for tickets. But actually that was when you burned most brightly.
Mm-hmm. That voice you hear is Tom Hollander, star in Travesties, Tom Stoppard's Travesties. He plays Henry Carr. How hard was it to master Stoppard's dialogue?
Well, it was hard. I used the age old traditional method of line learning, which
is what?
It's just repetition. Everyone was, how do you remember your lines? It's repetition. So you just say it and say it and say it until it comes out automatically.
Did you play this in London when it was in London?
Yeah, we did it. We've done it in three different theaters. Yeah.
Have you worked out all the kinks from London to here?
Well, it's changed. In each theater, it's changed slightly. Mm-hmm. The set has changed slightly and we've tweaked the script a little bit and the style has changed slightly for the different spaces we've been in. And this is the largest space we've been in and it is actually the broadest performance of it that we've done. We started off doing it in a room not much bigger than your offices here.
Huh.
To 200 people a night. Yeah.
So I heard Tom Stoppard was
in rehearsals.
Here. In New York before the show opened. What kind of input did he give you?
He is always extremely kind to the actors. So he's just generally loving and flattering to the actors and then is more combative with the director. So it's always a sort of love fest when he's around. And he's a very, very charming, imposing, charismatic man.
Mm-hmm.
And all the actors go weak at the knees when he turns up. But the director has a more challenging time. Though I have to say, he was pretty avuncular to us all because it's the same show and it was a hit in London. So he just wanted it to go well in New York.
So what are the physical demands of your part? Because when the play starts, you're hunched over and you're wearing a robe and a tattered straw boater and...
It's
and
fun.
Then you...
Then, so I have to be the old man and then I get to be the young man. So that's as fun as... That's just proper old-fashioned fun acting, playing Let's Pretend with a dressing-up box.
But it's not...
And transformation is great fun to do.
Yeah. Right, but it's not physically demanding for you because you're literally bowed over in the beginning of the play. And then when you go back in time and become young Henry Carr,
yes.
You are standing up straight. You are dressed fabulously.
Well, I have to make sure that I'm, you know, I go swimming and things. I'm just have to make sure that I'm supple enough. And I've been doing the shape, so I'm used to it. And my body's used to the positions. The most demanding thing, to be honest, is just saying the show because we do it at a very high pitch. What we haven't really talked about is how funny it is. It is really a comedy. And it's got something of a musical to it. So we do it, as you know, mm-hmm. at a very high pitch. It's very fast and very loud and not always very loud, but we kind of. It's farcical. It has a farcical energy to it, with several exceptions to that. But so that is the most challenging thing. It's just the pitch of it, and I'm on stage for a long time,
mm-hmm.
talking and saying a lot of long words, and that's the most tiring thing.
Well, you know, you are right. It is a comedy. There are a lot of jokes. Some of the jokes. People around me were laughing, and I was like, wait, I'm missing...
Super smart jokes, which some audience members get very competitive about, letting other audience members know that they've understood, even if they haven't understood them. But they're also... It's also full of dumb jokes, dumb, satisfying jokes. My favorite of which is that Henry Carr keeps getting Joyce's name wrong.
Yeah.
And calls him all sorts of other ladies' names.
Janice.
Doris.
Deirdre.
Bridget. Deirdre. Exactly. Deirdre.
Do you change the
those names?
Those names from show to show? You stick with what?
That's scripted. Yeah. Phyllis. So those, you know, that's a very satisfying, stupid joke. And Patrick Marber, who directed it very brilliantly, is very good at jokes as well. So we've added a few kind of dumb, low-rent jokes. So that tends to be the way, and that's the way Tom wrote it. So it goes kind of highbrow, really stupid. Highbrow, which kind of is a relief.
Give an example of one of the really stupid lowbrow jokes that were written in. And that's safe for
radio. I'm going to make it sound, I hope it sounds lowbrow. that one I just mentioned about the Joyce being a girl's name. That Tristan Tzara is trying to seduce Gwendolyn with a sonnet, a Shakespeare sonnet, which he's cut up into individual words, and they're pulling randomly out of a hat. And as she's pulling them out, Shakespeare walks on stage left in a ruff, who's actually the person playing Lennon and plays the lute. So it's Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day, Shakespeare famous sonnet. Thou art more lovely and more temperate, that one. And on comes Shakespeare in a silly ruff. That was not in the original play. Or I suppose the dumbest joke of all is that, and I hope I can say this on the radio. Top of Act Two, Joyce is dictating to Gwendolyn some section of...
Yes.
I'm going to phrase it correctly.
It's not one of these words I'm looking at.
She is apparently achieving a state of literary ecstasy and is responding, and he's dictating, and he goes, yes, 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 yes. And Joyce gets up and leaves, and then we discover that there's another character under the table who has been pleasuring her. And it wasn't literary ecstasy, it was sexual ecstasy. Ha ha.
It was a great moment coming into the second act, because people were just knocked out laughing.
It's a relief. They go, oh, thank goodness.
Thank God, there's a joke
I
can get.
Everyone understands that one.
Right.
Yeah.
I cannot end this interview without talking about your Tony nomination.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Was that a surprise?
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. To be honest, we were just thrilled to even be doing the show in New York at all. And then this award stuff started. To be nominated for a Tony is a huge, I don't know what it is. I'm chuffed to bits. Yeah.
Has it changed your life already, just being nominated?
Well, every time you get a big compliment like that, apparently it's supposed to make your life a tiny bit longer. But because you relax a bit at some level. So I suppose, you know, I feel New York has taken our show to its heart.
Tom Hollander, thank you very much for being here. Been speaking with Tom Hollander about the revival of Tom Stoppard's Travesties. Thanks very much.
Thank you.